And when that sin comes in our life, there's this element of guilt. And if it's not just guilt, there's also an element of judgment. And if we're not repenting, if we're not asking God for forgiveness of our sins, we're going to be judgmental of other people. As a matter of fact, the most judgmental people I have ever met have been Christians. Several years ago, when I first started preaching, it was a thing back then that whenever you had something that you didn't want, you would always give it to the preacher. And we had a friends who had some teenage boys. Our kids were, about 6 and 3 at the time. And we had some friends that got a new Nintendo. And, you know, when you get a new Nintendo, you have to give it away to somebody. So they decided they were going to give that Nintendo to us because we had 2 small children and every kid needs a Nintendo. We got that Nintendo, and what we've quickly figured out is our kids were too young to play that Nintendo, but there was a game on there called Donkey Kong. Some of you remember that game, even though it was 30 years ago. And so Donkey Kong was on the Nintendo set. We hooked it all up. I tried to teach the boys how to play it. They couldn't play it. They were just too little. Their fingers didn't work. So what I did is I showed them how to play it. And what I did not realize that as I was showing them how to play it, it would become an addiction for me. We would sit there and I would play with the boys and I would get to each level and I would be doing things, and every time I would do something and we'd get to the next level, the boys would cheer. I was their hero. We were having a great time. We would laugh. And then when I would fail, they would fall on the floor because Dad couldn't do it. And so I would continue and I would play. And I would reach the next level. And I got to the point that I was so obsessed with this game that the kids would go to bed and I would play without them so that I could get better and better. Finally, I had to give up the game because I got problems with my thumbs from playing it so much. But one of the things that I remember about that game the most, the button that I love the most on that game was the reset button. Because the reset button would take you back to where you were left off, where everything was good and everything was right in the world, and then you could start over. And there's sometimes where I'd start playing and I'd get distracted and I wouldn't do so well, so I would hit that reset button and I would just go back to where I was, where everything was good. It was the level that I had just completed before, and I didn't have to go back and start the whole game over, but I could go back to where I had messed up, and I could start over, and I could do better. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We've been studying the Lord's Prayer. I want to talk to you about the prayer of cleansing. It's the refresh button. It's the reset button in your life. You saw the scripture that was read for you just a few moments ago. And if you look at verse 1, I want you to underline these words: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Several years ago, I know it's hard to believe, but I was a runner. I liked running. I did quite a bit of running. And I remember that I would run down Ehrlich Avenue. And if you don't know anything about Ehrlich, it's a four-lane road, and it's lots of traffic and things like that. And I would run around on Ehrlich to get over to South Village so I could go down South Village and go back through the neighborhoods there. And it was a good 5-mile run that I could do. And I'll never forget one day that I was running along, and I was doing really well. It was one of those summer afternoons, and I was in good shape, and I was running, and things were going well, and I'm on Ehrlich Avenue, and somebody had let the vines from the woods grow over the sidewalk. And I remember running along, and I remember my foot getting caught in the vine, and I don't know, but I believe it was one of those acts of God where the vine wrapped around my leg and lassoed me. And I began to trip and stumble, and as my friend said, it looked like a giraffe was trying to learn to walk. Because I'm running along and I'm tripping and I'm falling and I'm trying to keep my balance, and I finally fall and I fall on the grass and I hit my legs and my knees, and I fall and I catch myself, and the first thought I had in my mind was, I sure hope nobody saw that. And then I heard the horn blow and my friend just waved at me. How in the world he was there at that same time. But that's the same friend who saw me walking one day because my car had broke down, and he saw me walking and he decided, well, Neil must be out for exercise again. Didn't bother to pick me up, didn't bother to blow the horn then, told me the next day, hey, I saw you walking, were you okay? Not a very good friend. But here's the problem with this life and walking with God and trying to be a Christian, is we're going to have those moments where we need to hit the refresh button, where we need to hit the reset button, where we get tangled up in something that we don't realize that we're tangled up in until it's too late. And it may even be that we fall at some point. But I'm here to tell you today that this prayer that we've been praying, the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer, depending on how you want to look at it, has that refresh button in it. It has that reset in it. It has that opportunity for you to start over. Because it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you are going to fall. You are going to need to hit the reset button. You're going to need, at some point in your life, you're going to need to repent of some kind of sin. And so this verse right here that we're talking about, depending on the translation, says, forgive us our debts, trespasses, sins, or transgressions. And the problem with us, a lot of us, is we don't think that we're sinners. We don't realize that we've got sin in our life. We don't realize that we've got things that we've got to work on. And when that sin comes in our life, there's this element of guilt. And if it's not just guilt, there's also an element of judgment. And if we're not repenting, if we're not asking God for forgiveness of our sins, we're going to be judgmental of other people. As a matter of fact, the most judgmental people I have ever met have been Christians. You see, when we don't ask God to forgive our sins, when we repress it, or we suppress it, or we excuse it, or we rationalize it, and I've told you this before, when you rationalize something, you're telling rational lies. Or you're like a friend of mine who used to say, you're really deep in the river because you're in denial. You'll get that when you get home. And when we don't recognize our sin and we don't get that refresh, we end up being miserable in our walk with God. And I don't care who you are, how long you've been a Christian, or what all you've done in your life, you have sin in your life at some point that you need to be forgiven of. And when we have this prayer that Jesus gave us, and in the very beginning of the prayer, he talks about how we recognize God and our relationship with God, and then he moves us down to this, forgive us our debts. I love the little boy that read the King James Version, where give us our trespasses as we forgive others' trespasses. And he translated to forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive other trash baskets. And the reality of it is for some of us, it is a trash basket. We take the sin in our life, we take the attitudes that we shouldn't have, we take the judgmental things of our life, and we put them in a basket, and we don't empty the basket. And we need to empty that basket from time to time. Well, how do I get a refreshed heart? Well, the very first thing that you've got to do is you've got to ask God to help you examine every area of your life. There's some areas of my life I'm pretty good at. I'm pretty good at certain things in my life. I'm pretty good at studying my Bible. Of course, as Nancy says, you get paid to do these things. You ought to be good at it. But I'm pretty good at looking at the Word and studying the Bible. I'm pretty good at teaching others. But there's other areas of my life I'm not really good at. You see, believe it or not, some mornings I get up in the morning and I love everybody and I want everybody to come to heaven with me, and I am just so happy to be a Christian. And then there's other days that I want nothing to do with any of you because my attitude stinks. But you need to ask God to examine every area of your life. Communion is one of the ways that I do that. Every Sunday morning when we're doing communion, before we do communion, while we're singing that communion song, I just say a little prayer and I say, God, if I have anything against anyone, if I have some kind of sin in my life I need to repent of, bring it to my forefront. Let me know about it. You see, a lot of us go through our life and we compartmentalize our life so much we don't think about the things that are going on around us. It may be that we're really good. As a matter of fact, when you come into this church, just about everybody in here is a happy Christian. But the reality of it is a lot of us go out on Mondays and we're not so happy Christians. I remember one day I was pulling out of the parking lot here and I just got frustrated with the traffic. Anybody ever else get frustrated with the traffic? I got frustrated with the traffic, and I was waiting for this lady to go, and she wouldn't go, and she wouldn't go, and I'm just sitting here, and she's looking at me, and finally, I just hit the gas, and I went in front of her. And it wasn't my turn, but I just couldn't wait on her anymore. And as I'm riding out, just zooming down the road, and you know, if you have a Hemi, you've got to learn how to drive a Hemi, and I did. And I hit the gas, and I punched out in front of her, and as I'm punched out in front of her and got in front of her, and I was frustrated, I thought to myself, I sure hope she doesn't know I'm the preacher here. You see, all of us have areas of our lives that we need to examine. So the very first thing, if you need to be refreshed, if you need to be cleansed, you need to ask God to examine every area of your life. I would suggest to you that maybe one of the things you do this week after hearing this sermon is for you to sit down with a notepad and a pencil, and you start asking God to examine every area of your life. It may be your work area. It may be your marriage. It may be your relationship with your children. It may be your relationship with those that you work with. It may be your work that you need to examine. But if you'll ask God, if you will ask God to examine your heart, He will tell you what you need to do without a doubt. Psalmist said in 139, verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." You see, some of us have anxious hearts. Some of us may not be in sin, but we may have something that we worry about all the time that we haven't given up to God. The second thing that you need to do is you need to repent. And repentance is threefold. When you repent, first of all, you take responsibility. A lot of us, we blame others for our sin. It's not my fault. I wouldn't have done that if she hadn't have done that, or I wouldn't have done that if it hadn't have been for this. But we need to learn to take responsibility. Repentance is taking responsibility. The second thing is it's turning away from the sin. You can repent of something and not turn away from it. So if you really want to repent, you've got to take responsibility, and then you've got to turn away. And the third thing you've got to do is you've got to turn towards God. And when you turn towards God, that's true repentance. Because what it comes down to, the sin in your life, you cannot handle on your own. The only way you can handle the sin in your life is with God. We can try harder, we can do better, but the reality of it is only God gives us what we need in order to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But worldly sorrow brings death." There's worldly sorrow. We see it all the time when people get caught in the news doing something wrong. There's worldly sorrow all the time. We don't want to be caught. We don't want to be called out. So that's worldly sorrow, but godly sorrow is when we take responsibility, we turn away from sin, and we turn towards God. The psalmist says in Psalm 51 in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God doesn't care about your actions as much as he cares about your heart. You see, I can do the right things with the wrong motive day in and day out, but God wants us to do the right things with the right motive at the right time. And that's what we're talking about here when it comes to repentance. The third thing we need to do in order to have this cleansing, to have this refreshed heart, is to make restitution when possible. We need to make restitution when possible, and that has to do with our relationship with other people. I've seen a lot of people who have done others wrong in some way, and then they don't make any restitution. They just say, "Please forgive me. You know I stole from you, but I'm not going to do anything about it." Now, I know there's some things you can't make restitution for, but if you can make restitution, you need to make restitution. We have the story in the Bible of Zacchaeus, and he stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham." Restitution may mean financial costs. It may mean something else to you. It depends on the sin. But if you have a sin, if you've sinned against someone, you need to make that restitution. Number four, and this is a big one, you need to accept God's forgiveness. You need to accept God's forgiveness. There are a lot of Christians in the world today that have not accepted God's forgiveness. They know intellectually that God has forgiven them from their sins. They know intellectually that the Bible states that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but they have not accepted that forgiveness. They still live in this shadow of guilt and regret. And I want you to go back to that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. It says salvation and leaves no regrets. But there are people that are living in regrets. You cannot live in regret and not live in guilt and still be joyful in your walk with God. There are a lot of Christians that are in the world today that have no peace, they have no joy, because they have not figured out how to accept God's forgiveness. Accepting God's forgiveness is an act of faith that God will forgive you of anything. I'll never forget being in my early 20s, and a young lady that was a part of the college group came to me and with tears in her eyes, and she said, "There is no way God's going to forgive me." And I said to her, why would you say that? God can forgive anything. And she says, "Neil, I had an abortion. How in the world can God forgive that?" And I told her, God forgives that. God forgives you when you steal from your company. God forgives when you commit adultery. God forgives when you drink too much. God forgives when you're looking at pornography. God can forgive any sin that you have. And in the years of my ministry, I cannot tell you the number of times that people have come to me and say, "Neil, I know you've heard a lot, but you're not going to believe what I've done, and I know that God can't forgive it." And I go back to the scriptures. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Underline the word mercy and the word grace. And the reason why I want you to see those two words is because a lot of times we see those two words and we realize that mercy and grace go hand in hand, but we don't really understand it. Mercy is the forgiveness that I need. when I approach the throne of God with mercy and grace, I need that forgiveness. So God knows that I need that forgiveness, so he gives me that mercy. And the second thing he gives me is that grace, and that grace is the ability to not sin anymore. That grace is the help that I need, that I will be able to overcome my sin. And it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to underline the word justify there. And I want you to write beside that word, just as if I never did it. That's what justified means. It's just as if I never did it. A lot of us have accepted the forgiveness of God. We've come forward. We've repented. We've asked for that forgiveness, but we don't realize it's just as if I've never done it. That's what it means to be justified, is that we have been justified and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, just as I never did it. Number five, and this is a big one, and this is the reason why we have life groups. Confess to those close to you spiritually. Confess to those who are close to you spiritually. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We don't have life groups here at this church because we just need another thing to do. I'm just going to tell you right now, I had friends of mine that we hadn't seen in 20-some years that Nancy and I reconnected with through a funeral yesterday, and we reconnected with them, and they said to me, said, Neil, we want to come down and see you. Look at your calendar and tell us when it's going to be a good time for us to do that. And I'm looking at my calendar for a couple of days where it'd be a good time for them to do that, and right now I'm in June, and I haven't found anything yet. We don't have life groups because you need another thing to do. If you're like me and like most of the people in this room, you have plenty to do. Amen? And you don't need another thing to do. We do life groups because you need people in your life. You need people to make you better. You need people to walk through this life with you. As a matter of fact, I would challenge you to do something that I thought of this morning. As I was doing the lesson this morning, go through the book of Hebrews and underline every time you read the words, let us. Because the idea behind the walk with Christ is you need a church family and you need somebody spiritually close to you. And the fear that most of us have is that we're going to confess something, we're going to show some kind of vulnerability with somebody, and they're not going to like us anymore. But if you're close to somebody spiritually, if you know somebody that's spiritually mature, you're going to be able to confess to them, and they're not going to judge you, they're not going to be surprised, you're not going to knock them off their seat. They're going to love you, and they're going to help you work through what you're doing. Look at what it says in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm going to tell you something. I need you and you need me. If we're going to get through this life together the way God intended for us to do, is I need you and you need me. And it's not these surface relationships that we're talking about. It's not coming to church and saying, hey, how are you doing? And everybody saying, I'm doing great, how are you doing? These relationships are surface relationships, and what God wants us to do by confessing our sins one to another is he wants us to be close. He wants us to have people that can hold us accountable. He wants people that we can confess to, that when we're struggling, we can talk to about it. I was struggling this week, and I just called Shaq and said, Shaq, I'm struggling right now. I guess I texted you. And the first thing he said to me, he says, Neil, you've got me. I'm here for you. And it doesn't matter whether it's a big struggle like you. We've got men in this church that have struggled with pornography, and they've confessed it to one another, and they're working together to overcome that. We've got people in this church that are having marital problems, and they've confessed, and they're trying to work through those things. I've got friends that I talk to, and we just talk about the little things that we're confessing. How many men in here have ever been upset with their wives? Just raise your hand. All right, you guys are so dumb, you should have never raised your hand. Women, how many of you women were offended because your husband raised their hand, okay? You see what I'm talking about? We've got issues in this church. We need each other. How many of you have ever been upset with somebody and then you found out later that there's a backstory of why they did what they did? And you go, wow, if I'd have known they were dealing with that, I wouldn't have been so quick to judge them. You see, you never know what somebody's going through. I heard a story several years ago of a man who was on a train, a subway, and he had three kids, and he was just sitting there, and he looked like he was despondent, and his kids were jumping and making a racket and tearing things up, and this guy just watched what was going on till he couldn't stand it anymore, and he just decided, I've got to do something about that. So he sat down next to the man, and he says, aren't you going to do something about these kids? And the man looked up, and he says, yes, I guess I should. And then he said, we just left the hospital. Their mother and my wife just died, and I'm not really sure what to do right now. We need to confess our sins one to another so that we can hold each other accountable, so that we can grow, so that we can become better in our walk with God. And number six, we need to rinse and repeat often. I used to think that was kind of funny when you would get a shampoo bottle and it said rinse and repeat. I'm thinking you're going to be in the shower all day. Because every time you rinse, you have to repeat. It's like the old story. Pete and repeat sat on a log. Pete fell off. Who was left? Pete and repeat sat on a log. You'll get it later. It's okay. Some of you are not awake this morning. But you need to rinse and repeat often. Look at what it says. And I just mentioned this a minute ago. Let's go through this verse and underline all the let us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilt, a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. 25, let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the best time to change a diaper is immediately. If you don't change a diaper immediately, guess what happens? You have a bigger mess. It's been a while since we raised kids, but I remember that was a very important thing. Anytime the diapers needed to be changed, we changed them immediately. Because if you didn't, diapers have a tendency to leak and you just have a bigger mess. And you say to yourself, well, Neil, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me tell you this. Some of you are babies in Christ, and you need your diapers changed. Some of you are a little more full grown, and guess what you need to do on a regular basis? You need to bathe. You need to bathe. I love seeing friends of mine from time to time, and I'll shake their hand or give them a hug, and I'll say, you smell good. And they say, well, I took a bath today. We need to rinse and repeat regularly. We need to cleanse ourselves regularly. We need to be refreshed regularly in order to walk with God. You see, a lot of us haven't grown in our walk with God. We don't have that relationship with Jesus that everybody's talking about. We don't have what people are singing about, and we wonder why. And the reason why is we have not cleansed ourselves. And we may have done it when we were buried with Christ in baptism, but it's something that we need to continue to do. We know that Christ's blood continually cleanses us, but we have to go through the process ourselves. And we have to be cleansed ourselves. As I was thinking about this morning, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I don't know where you are today, and I don't know whether this sermon is even making an impact on you, but some people, I'm sure, in the audience today are thinking, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't killed anybody this week. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't stole anything. I haven't lied majorly. I'm doing pretty good here. You may be there. But if you go back to number one and ask God to examine your heart, and you do it sincerely, not superficially, like, okay, Neil said, ask God, so God, here I am, what sin do I have? But I mean sincerely ask God, what is it in my life that I need to come clean on? What is it in my life I need to ask for your forgiveness of? And when you do that, as we're singing this invitation song, let God speak to you through the song and speak to your heart, to your soul, and see what it is. What attitude, what action you have in your life that you need to change in order for you to have that close relationship with God. You may be here this morning and you've never put on Christ through baptism. You've never had the opportunity to be washed, have your sins washed away through baptism. And if that's the case, we would encourage you to do that as we sing this invitation song. But before we sing this invitation song, let us go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can turn to you as our God and ask for forgiveness and know that we're forgiven of anything that we have done wrong. And Father, we know that our sin will find us out. And we know, Father, one day there will be a judgment. But we also know, Father, that your Son's sacrifice on the cross has given us the forgiveness we need. All we need to do is ask. All we need to do is repent and turn towards you. And Father, as we sing this song this morning, help us to confess to you, but Father, also let us look for ways to confess to those that we are close to spiritually, so that we may seek, have this forgiveness, and we may seek your righteousness in all that we do. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.